Good to see all of you this morning. We're winding down our study of history and geography of the Bible, and we're on lesson number 49. I hope to be finished with a good bit of this material by the early portion of March. I know you say, oh, that's not possible. Well, we're going to try and get things going. We've got another study planned, and we'll talk more about those arrangements a bit later. We're discussing the questions on lesson number 49. But in our discussion this morning, we're going to begin with number 28 on that set of questions. Now, most of you know how that I prefer to do questions. It's not the time to reteach the lesson. We've already done that. But if you have a question, I would be certainly happy to engage that. We may have a comment or two along the way as we examine these review questions. In our study this morning, as I mentioned, we want to begin with number 28 in the lesson sheet. But what I want to do just for a moment prior to that is to examine these maps so that you will see the journeys that Paul has taken. Now, this is the first journey, and I want you to remember Acts chapter 13 through chapter 15. All right? You'll notice that this is a relatively short trip in comparison to the others. The second journey, what chapters do I read about the second journey, Jonathan? Acts chapter... Pardon me?
16.
All right. All right, and about the tail end of chapter 15 through chapter 18. All right, and James, pick on you because you were in our Acts class as well. When we look at the third preaching tour, we see that many of these same places are visited. But what chapters are we reading about? Acts chapter?
You're going about 19 to 21.
All right, let's back it up to the tail end of 18 through 21, just the last few verses. And we'll see the passages that deal with the third preaching tour. Now, I've got a reason for that, so I don't want you to forget it. There's a reason for us looking at these maps right off the board. Because there is a section, I think, in your lesson book. If not, we'll do it from up here. What chapter? What journey? And this kind of makes you think just a little bit. When we randomly pick things that occurred in these three preaching tours, and then you tell me what journey and what tour it was that it occurred. Now, if you remember what chapter it is in, that's why we use the maps. If you remember what chapter it is in, it will be helpful to you to identify which preaching tour it was. Okay? Everybody ready? This is a test. Starting with you, Randy. Ed Snap, are you okay there? All right. In which preaching tour do we read about the 12 men who were, and I have it in quotations, re-baptized? They had received the baptism of John, and that was all that they knew. And Paul instructed them regarding being baptized into Christ. And then they were baptized in the name of Christ, and he laid his hands upon them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, that's about all I want to say, giving you time to think that through.
Yeah, I was trying to remember where it is. It's in 19.
Yes.
The first part of Acts chapter 19.
All right.
Which would make that the third tour.
All right, make that the third tour. Now, see how easy that is? All right, when we look at the second one, in which journey did Paul visit the city of Salamis? Now, upon what island was Salamis?
Cyprus.
Cyprus, that's right. On the Isle of Cyprus. Now, that ought to be a hint. If he visited Cyprus or Salamis and then Paphos on the other end, what chapters and what tour? Lynn, what tour? All right, very good.
It was in 13.
All right, that's exactly right. Now, you see again how easy this is. Bruce, Luke joined Paul at Troas. Now, that's a tricky question. Luke joined Paul at Troas. Now, it don't have to be all that tricky, because you can ask the question, just exactly what chapter is it that we read about Troas? All right. Go back just a little bit. We read about Troas actually prior to Acts 20, but we do read about it in Acts chapter 20. Somebody help him out just a little bit, not much.
16.
All right, when we go back to chapter 16, yes.
10 and 11.
Chapter 16. What incident do we read there, Bruce, verses 10 and 11, that occurred in Troas, and then how do we know that Luke joined Paul in Troas? All right, go back just a little bit to verses 9 and 10. 8, 9, and 10, actually. And they came down to Troas. And verse 9, what happened? And? All right. They were in Troas, and Paul saw a vision of a man from Macedonia saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, the thing that I said makes that just a little bit tricky, if you look in verse 8, it says, in passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. Who came to Troas? Using the language here, the pronoun. Who came? They. All right. They came to Troas. Now, when you look at verse 10, it says, and when he had seen the vision straightway, we sought to go forth into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Now, what have I, or several of us in teaching the class, what have we asked you to do when you look at these pronouns? What does that tell you just from the pronouns? All right. All right, when it says we, who wrote the book of Acts? Luke did. Now, when he includes himself, he's traveling with Paul at that time. When he says they did this, it's indicative that he was not traveling with Paul at that time. So when we look at this text, we note that Luke joins Paul at Troas, and Lynn, you're right, this would be on the second preaching tour here in Acts chapter 16. Now often, Bruce, what you did is what sometimes I do. When I think of Acts chapter 16, I think of Philippi. Well, that's about the middle on down to the end of Acts chapter 16. We need to back up to these early verses, and we can read about Troas in this interim. Yes?
Just for a refresher, these are on the fifth page of the question sheet that we've handed out.
All right, the fifth page of the lesson sheet that's been handed out. All right, lesson 49. All right. The Bereans searched the Scriptures. In what chapter do we read about the Bereans, and what preaching tour was that? First of all, in what chapter do we read about the Bereans?
17.
17, yes. Paul came into the city of Berea, and we note that the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the Scriptures. All right, now if we're talking about the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, what preaching tour was it? Second preaching tour. Very good. The next one, this might be a little confusing to you as well. Luke joined Paul at Philippi. In what chapter do we read about Luke joining Paul at Philippi? Pardon me?
Chapter
20. All right, let's look at chapter 20 and see the circumstances in which that occurred. Again, this is in the... just lost my place. Well, pardon me? Well, I'm in Acts chapter 19. No wonder it doesn't read, right? Yes. verse 5. Yes, but these had gone before and were waiting for us at Troas, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days and were, we tarried 7 days. Thank you, Jenny, for your help on that. I was looking at the wrong chapter, wrong page, right part of the page, just the wrong page. All right, so that would put us in the preaching tour would be the third preaching tour. And then, of course, Paul calls for the Ephesian elders to meet with them in the city of Miletus. What preaching tour? Third one. What chapter? Acts chapter 20. Very good. And Acts chapter 15 through verse 18. Now, that's a gimme. Okay? Your chart or questions don't have this on it. That's just to help. All right? That would be the second preaching tour. And then Mark leaves Paul at Perga in Pamphylia. What preaching tour was that? All right, first. Yes, that's right. And how do you remember that? Oh, that's right. That's right. And the first one was in chapter 13 through 15, and this gives us the discussion of that. All right, number it is. Aquila and Priscilla go to Ephesus. What preaching tour? Paul left them there. What preaching tour? What chapter? Chapter 18. That's right. They left from Corinth and went with Paul over to Ephesus, and he left them there. So if it's chapter 18, what preaching to him? All right, be toward the end of this one. And then the next one, Paul shipwrecked on Malta. What chapter? 28, yes. Now that would, puts us beyond this and beyond the numbers that we have. You'll see how our book does that. They call that number 4. I prefer to call that number 3, but on different maps you see it identified a little bit differently. Brethren, tell Paul not to go to Jerusalem. What chapter? Well, what chapters? Uh-huh. Well, 21, yes. What tour? Would that obviously make it? The third preaching tour. Eutychus falls asleep and falls dead. I prefer to say Eutychus fell asleep and was taken up dead, but be that as it may. What chapter and what preaching tour?
Chapter 20.
Chapter 20, yes, and that would put us in the third preaching tour. Very good. Paul was stoned and left for dead. What chapter? 14, yes. Which tour? All right. That would be the first preaching tour. And then covered 600 miles. Now, that's an easy one. What preaching tour did he just cover 600 miles? All right, the first preaching tour. That was the shortest one. And then the letter from Jerusalem is delivered. What chapter? Chapter 15, yes. What preaching tour then would that be? The second preaching tour. Very good. Now these, you see, make you think, because what they call upon you to do is to remember the chapters. And we're going to do some more of that, time permitting. Timothy joins Paul at Derbe and Lystra. Which preaching tour? All right. The second one and chapter 16. Very good. Very good. All right, we have number 28. Did you say you got two or did number 28? You said you got two of them.
We're going to do it.
We're going to do it, okay? Number 28 on your lesson sheet. From this point, what man closed the account of Paul's life in the book of Acts? Who's the writer? All right, Luke did. And, of course, we determined that from the introduction as well as the pronouns throughout the book. The rest of Paul's life can be pieced together by details given later in what? That's not worded just exactly right, I don't think. But where do we read of the rest of Paul's life? In the epistles, yes. And we probably need to name some of those because they help us considerably to fill in some blanks. What are they? All right, yes. Well, yes. We know that during this time, at the conclusion of the book of Acts, we read of the prison epistles, that period of time, and then what we sometimes refer to as the pastoral epistles, and they would be 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. All right. On the last trip to Jerusalem and the dangerous voyage to Rome, who accompanied Paul? That's a gimme. Luke did. All right. Again, we note the pronouns.
Shouldn't there be one other person? Aristarchus?
Yes.
As well.
Yes.
And that's what I pointed out in the earlier question. The earlier question says, who accompanied Paul to Asia, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
That was Luke and Aristarchus, or vice versa. And then on this one, it was just Luke. Question 14, who was with Paul on the journey as they were going to Rome? That was Luke and Aristarchus.
Yeah.
But Aristarchus did not join them until they were at Caesarea.
I believe that's right.
So
yep.
Aristarchus made the journey to Rome, but he did not make the journey to Jerusalem and Rome.
All right. Very good.
Trick question.
It is. Sometimes you have to scratch your head and think a little bit.
I disagree.
Uh-oh.
Acts
son and daughter.
20.
Daughter and dad. Pardon me?
Acts chapter 20, when Paul is departing from Macedonia, he's accompanied by, in verse 4, Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians. They were accompanying him to Jerusalem to deliver the gift.
All right, that's right. And this section of it, that's what it says.
But Aristarchus, wait a minute. I'm looking for Aristarchus again. When we leave Caesarea, it's in because I thought it said that Aristarchus was of another city. The term we should say of certain others, as of Asia, Thessalonica. We'll find it one of these days.
Yeah, well, that may cause us to think just a little further.
It says in verse 2, 27, it says, about to sail into places on the coast of Asia, we put to sea Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica. Okay, I saw a Macedonian in, well, he's not the same guy. It's
all clear.
Thessalonica.
Yeah, all clear.
Jenny is right, as usual.
Well, next question. Who was the emperor in Rome during Paul's imprisonment? James?
I don't recall.
All right, David? Anybody?
Nero.
That's right. And, of course, we recognize him as a very wicked king during this time. Number 32, what was the name of the runaway slave who was converted by the Apostle Paul? Onesimus, yes. And I want to call your attention, Richard was so kind to fill in the passages on the charts that I sent to him, Philemon and Colossians, Onesimus is named in these two prison epistles. Who brought Paul a gift from the church at Philippi?
Epaphroditus.
All right. Now, unless I'm badly mistaken, I want to go back and check something in Philippians chapter 2. Yes, I'm correct. I like to be right, even if it's by accident every once in a while. In verse 25, Paul writes, verse 25 of Philippians 2, but I counted it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier and your messenger and minister to my need, since he longed after you all and was sore troubled because you heard that he was sick. He said, for indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, that I might not have sorrow upon sorrow. I have sent him therefore the more diligently, that when ye see him again ye may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. Yes, Epaphroditus, chapter 2 and chapter 4, was the one that we're talking about. Number 34, name the four prison epistles written by the Apostle Paul. Reba, the four prison epistles. picking on you.
I know, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Hold on.
All right.
First and Second Timothy.
No. No first and seconds in the prison epistles. Okay? You want to help her out just a little bit, David?
I got to remember.
Yeah?
Philippians.
All right.
Philippians.
Colossians.
And Philemon. These four books. Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Philemon. Now, an easy way to remember that is Colossians and Ephesians. We sometimes refer to them as parallel books. Okay? Many of the same thoughts dealt with in both of those books. When you think about Philemon, the only easy way I know to remember that is to remember what Paul says in that book, that Onesimus was with me in prison. And so, as we underscore that, it identifies the book of Philemon being written from there, and in a similar fashion, the book of Philippians. I don't know of any real easy way just to throw that in. Sometimes, and I'll confuse you, sometimes when we list these, we want to throw Galatians in, but that's not so. Galatians was not written during this time. In fact, much earlier, yes.
When I memorized the books when I was a kid, we learned them in little sections, and so Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians were units, so I just think Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians are all right in a row.
Yeah. Yeah, you add that in there. Yeah, very easy. Number 35. When a large portion of Rome burned in 64 A.D., Nero blamed what people? All right, who really set the fire?
Nero.
Responsible, yes. Nero had the responsibility for that. But he had to blame somebody. Now, this gives us a map, again, of the places that were visited. And that's the conclusion of that. Now, I've got some other things I want to talk with you about this morning. Do you have any questions over any of these review questions? Yes.
The dates of Nero's reign.
60. Help me out, some of you that got it written down. Was it 61 through about 63? Three, long in through there? Four, pardon me? Well, I may be mistaken. Somebody Google that and you can find that right quick. In fact, I may have it on one of my charts, but I can't recall which one it is. James, it might be that he started earlier.
54 to 68.
All right, it does broaden it out considerably. Thank you, Jenny. I didn't remember that exactly offhand. Review of the book of Acts. Now, what you notice about lesson number 50 is it's a review over several lessons. Review of the book of Acts. Now, one of the things that I'm going to do for the benefit of those of you who were studying with us in the book of Acts is we're going to look at some of our questions about what chapter is it in. Okay? I told you back when we were studying these things that I wanted you to learn this material, not just memorize it. If you learned it, it'd be a part of your life from that point on, and I think that's so. Where did the following events take place? The apostles were told to wait here until the Holy Spirit came upon them. They were to wait in Jerusalem, yes. Now, I have on the chart, I want you to look at Luke chapter 24. In Luke's account in chapter 24, we see what we might refer to as Luke's record of the Great Commission. Now, often when we think of the Great Commission, we think of Matthew and Mark's account. There's just a little blip in the book of John, but there's a considerable amount that Luke records for us, beginning in verse 44. It says, "And he said unto them, These are my words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you." Now, consider that the points that we're talking about here in this context deals with the period of time after Jesus' resurrection, prior to his ascension. And he says, "These are the things that I told you that would occur while I was yet with you, which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their mind that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name unto all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Now, while I'm picking your brain, when Jesus makes this reference to what the Scriptures teach, that the message of repentance and remission of sins would be preached in my name, beginning from Jerusalem. What Old Testament prophet had prophesied that?
Isaiah.
All right, Isaiah. Now, Joel talked about things that would occur in the last days, quoted in Acts chapter 2. But here we see that the message to begin in Jerusalem, Isaiah specifically made that point in Isaiah chapter 2, that my word shall go forth from Jerusalem. And then in verse 48, ye are witnesses of these things. Now here's the point I want you to see for this specific question. It says, and behold, I send forth the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city until ye be clothed with power from on high. And he led them out until they were over against Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple blessing God. Why did they go back to Jerusalem? To wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, when you begin to read in the early portion of the book of Acts, keep in mind that the writer is the same, and it just overlaps a little bit. In Acts chapter 1, we know that Jesus has not yet ascended. In Acts chapter 1, Luke backs up that far, and he tells us, beginning in verse 4 of Acts chapter 1, and being assembled together with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. You see the overlap there, do you not? Just 1 second there, Dave, and I'll get you. It says, wait for the promise of the Father, which, said he, ye heard from me. For John indeed baptized with water, but ye were baptized, or ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Now when you turn the page to Acts chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost was now come, they were all together in one place, and what happened to them? The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So our question is answered by the city of Jerusalem. Yes, David?
Backing all the way up to where Jesus said, you will be witnesses. He was talking to the apostles and not anyone else.
That's right. Now, the apostles would be his witnesses. And, of course, that's why the Lord appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus.
Because people for about the last 150 years have called themselves witnesses.
Yeah, well, that's not so. You can't be a witness of something you neither saw nor heard. And that's just incorrect. All right, the first gospel sermon was preached where? In Acts chapter 2 in the city of Jerusalem. Very good. The third question, Ananias and Sapphira were struck dead. They lied and died where?
Five.
Chapter 5. Now, you got to have a southern accent to say that, right? But you remember that. Ananias and Sapphira were struck dead. Where? In Jerusalem. That's right. Now, you see we're developing a bit of a pattern here. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. When you're looking in the book of Acts, what chapter becomes the transition chapter from the city of Jerusalem? Acts chapter 8. Very good. Then we see the gospel being spread to Samaria. Stephen was stoned. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. Where? Jerusalem. Philip converted Simon the sorcerer in what chapter? Chapter 8. In what place? I can't say it the other way. All right, in the city of Samaria. And then the home of the eunuch.
We're whacking that thing.
Oh, sorry. Blinking.
Yeah.
Thank you. The home of the eunuch was?
Ethiopia.
Very good. The next question. The Lord appeared to Paul, or Saul, on his way to this city.
Damascus.
And what chapter is Saul first called Paul?
13.
Thank you. I don't know why. Have you ever come across something that you just could not remember every time you go over it? I knew it was 13.
Oh, who's in there?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Lysias, right?
Oh, yes, right. Uh-huh. Yes. City of Damascus. Don't confuse me. Paul was let down over the wall in this city in a basket. Damascus, very good. The next question, place where the brethren sent Paul to escape from the Jews of Jerusalem. Where did they send him? All right, they sent him to Tarsus. Sent him home, yes. The next question, Peter raised Dorcas from the dead. What city or town?
Joppa.
Very good. Peter saw a vision of a sheep filled with unclean animals. Where was he?
Still there.
All right, he's still there in Joppa. Next question, home of Cornelius?
Caesarea.
Very good. Barnabas was sent here to exhort the brethren. Antioch. Very good. Which one?
Syria.
All right. The disciples of Antioch sent relief to the brethren here. Judea, which also they did, sending it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. And what does that indicate to us about the organizational structure of the churches?
They were autonomous.
They were autonomous, yes. James, answer the argument, false argument, but answer the argument that the church in Antioch sent to the elders of the church in Jerusalem, and the church in Jerusalem then dispersed the funds throughout the province of Judea.
Well, basically that argument is trying to say that the church of Jerusalem was a sponsoring church arrangement, and the problem is the text just doesn't say that. All it records is the best I'll see. I can't quote it exactly, so I'm going off very loose paraphrasing here, that the men came down from Jerusalem, but all that shows is that that was the last place they were before they left. That doesn't mean that Jerusalem was a collecting house.
All right, they came up.
Or they came up. Yeah.
Okay. They returned is the idea.
Right.
You're correct. They came down from Jerusalem, but they returned is the word I was looking for. They came back.
Right, so there's just no evidence whatsoever that the church there was a sponsoring church.
No.
When you look at other instances of Scripture where benevolence was extended, Paul had travel companions from various congregations, and those companions were there, and they carried the gift from their own congregation. They didn't make Paul a clearinghouse either. Each church did its own work.
That's right. Now, suppose I go to Richard's house, I go to your house, and I return to my house from Chris's house. Does that mean that Chris's house is the only one that I went to?
No.
All that means is that was the last stop. And, of course, that's the foolishness of the argument that's sometimes made. Peter was released from prison from this city. Chapter 12. All right, from the city of Jerusalem, yes. In that chapter, we also note that there was a man who was beheaded. What was his name?
James.
Very good. Very good. The Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have appointed them, or called them. What town was that? Antioch. Which one?
Syria.
Very good. Elymas was struck blind here.
Paphos.
That's right. What was the island that Paphos was on?
Cyprus.
All right, very good. John Mark turned back
from Perga
in Pamphylia. Very good. And Paul preached concerning the leaders God had provided for Israel, culminating in Jesus. Chapter 13. Antioch, very good. Which Antioch? Pisidia, the other one. All right. Antioch of Pisidia. Very good. The next question, Paul and Barnabas were nearly worshipped here. Where was it?
Lystra.
All right, the pendulum swings from being nearly worshipped to what? Paul being stoned. Yes, and that also was at Lystra. All right, very good. Next question. Paul and Barnabas went for, and I put this in quotation marks because it just is like fingernails down the chalkboard to me. Paul and Barnabas went for a conference on the subject of circumcision.
Jerusalem.
Now, why do we hesitate to call that a conference? You'll find that in many Bibles where they put that up over the paragraph that's dealing with this. They say church conference or Jerusalem conference.
In today's vernacular, it means a gathering together of various people for the purpose of setting forth policy or discussing things that will go about and change the way people do in a more global way. In this instance, they went down to check with the people who had essentially sent them the problem, as it were.
All right, that's right. And they went there not to make a decision, but to ascertain what God had already revealed on this subject of circumcision. Randy?
I was just going to say the word conference suggests that things were decided by committee.
Yes, and that was not what occurred in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15. They determined what God had already said by citing the evidence that God had already made known.
They came and reasoned together.
They reasoned, yes. Now, each preaching journey started from this city. Antioch of Syria, yes. Train your mind to distinguish between the two when you think of Antioch. Barnabas went to this island on his second preaching trip. Cyprus, very good. The next question, Timothy's home. Where was Timothy from?
Probably Derby.
Probably Derby. Lystra, Derby, I think is what it says in the text there. Paul saw a vision of a man asking for help. All right, come over into Macedonia and help us. That vision was in Troas. The man in the vision was from, I got to quit that. Where was he from? Macedonia. All right, come over and help us. Next question, Lydia's hometown. Thyatira. We read about her in chapter 16. What was Lydia's trade?
Seller
of purple. Indicates that she was rich or poor?
Rich.
Likely very rich. Paul saying in prison. What chapter? Or what? 16. In the city of Philippi. We're going to do better than that. The people here were described as more noble than others. The Bereans, yes. And while we're thinking of the Bereans, they were more noble than others. What others in particular? Those in Thessalonica. Yes, that's correct. Thank you. What happened in Thessalonica? All right, they threw him out of town. Yeah, they would not examine the scriptures like those in Berea did. People spent their time telling or hearing some new thing. Where was that? In the city of Athens. That's right. Paul preached on Mars Hill. All right. Paul worked as a tent maker, chapter 18. All right. But in Corinth with Priscilla and Aquila, yes. Next question. Priscilla and Aquila had been forced to leave this city because the emperor had ordered all Jews to leave. Rome, very good. Apollos' hometown. Pardon me? Alexandria. Very good. Very good. Paul taught daily in the school of Tyrannus in this city. What was it? Ephesus. Very good. The people burned their books of magic. Their books of sorcery. Where was it? That was Ephesus, yes. And the price of the books came to be 50,000 pieces of silver. Demetrius stirred up a mob against Paul. Where? Ephesus, very good. We need to jumble these up. The man fell out. A man fell out of a window during a sermon.
Troas.
All right. What happened to him? He was taken up dead. Yeah. Paul told the Ephesian elders goodbye. I like the word farewell better, but our writer says goodbye. He met with them in the city of Miletus. Paul visited with Philip. All right, that would be in Caesarea. And a key thing I want you to remember here, has Philip been in Caesarea a short time or a long time?
Long time.
Approximately 20 years. What is it that Philip, no doubt, recalls about Paul? He did. He held the garments of those who stoned Stephen to death. And when Paul is visiting with Philip, let us not only note that he visited, but he lodged there. How would you like to have for company somebody you knew that had murdered one of your best friends 20 years ago? Paul was warned that he would be bound when he arrived here. What town or city? The city of Jerusalem, yes. Paul was accused of defiling the temple. Where? Drew, that's a given. Paul's hometown, that's also a given.
Tarsus.
All right, Tarsus and Cilicia, very good. City where Paul was educated, Jerusalem, which tells us that he kind of grew up there. In fact, Paul tells us that. The city where Paul was taken to protect him from the Jews in Jerusalem. Caesarea. Who took him there? 470 soldiers. That's right. Led by Claudius Lysias. Claudius Lysias. That's the name I keep.
Sergius Paul.
Yeah, don't mess with my head. Claudius Lysias. Paul preached before two governors and a king while he was in prison here. In Caesarea. All right, what were the governor's name and who was the king? Very good. Very good. Paul asked the captain of a ship to winter on this island. Yes, and why didn't he do so? Yeah, he talked to the people that his money was coming from, no doubt. They wanted to move on. Paul shook off a deadly snake. Where?
Malta.
On the island of Malta or Malta, it's called. Paul was in his own hired house, yet he was a prisoner in Rome. Very good. All right, the book of Acts tells us six times that Paul was in Jerusalem. Why was he at Jerusalem in the following passages? In Acts 22, verse 3. Acts 22, verse 3. Why was he there? All right, he had been arrested in the city of Jerusalem, and he's making his defense now before the Jewish people. Well, this tells us that as a boy, he was raised in Jerusalem. He's telling us now that he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. But you're right, the context, Acts 22, he's relating these events of what happened to him earlier. Acts chapter 9. Yes, Chris?
That's not why he was there.
No.
He was there because he was bringing the gifts from the churches. That's the why.
That's the why, yes. He was there, actually, in Acts 21. These events for the next several chapters begin to transpire. Yes. In Acts chapter 9, verses 26 through 31, what do we learn about why he was in Jerusalem? All right. All right. He's trying to join the disciples. And we talked about that somewhat. We'll have occasion to discuss that again later. Acts chapter 11, 27 through 30. We know that actually, that carries us on into the 12th chapter, James, verse 25. Why was Paul in Jerusalem in this context? We know that Paul and Barnabas visited the churches of Judea. We know that one of them was Jerusalem, Acts chapter 11, 27 through 30. Why was he there? That's right, to bring relief from the brethren in Antioch. Acts chapter 15, why was he there? Bruce, what took place in Acts 15? Acts 15. It's a landmark chapter. Acts 15. Donna, can you help him out? Acts 15. Yes. Yes, he was in the city of Jerusalem to discuss this matter of circumcision, and the brethren there wrote a letter pertaining to that to be sent to the Gentile churches. Why was he there? Acts chapter 18. He wanted to be there to observe, or what's expressed there. I don't think that he was there in Acts 18. He expresses his desire to be there for the observance of the Pentecost, day of Pentecost, after his second journey. Acts chapter 21 and 1 Corinthians chapter 16. In these two chapters, we learn why he came on this last occasion where he was arrested. What was the purpose of his coming? All right, to deliver the collection for the saints that had been collected on this third preaching tour. Did God fulfill His promise to Abraham that one would come to bless all nations? Well, yes. We don't even need to respond to that. Yes, God fulfilled every promise He made. But the question then is, when? When did God fulfill that promise?
Well, about 33 AD, I should
All right, that's true, and we know that because Paul, or Peter rather, I say that wrongly every time, Peter was preaching the same sermon in Acts chapter 3 that he preached in Acts chapter 2. And we know in Acts chapter 3 he quotes from the promise that was made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Now, when you're studying with somebody, I want to make this emphatic. When you're studying with somebody and you begin to reiterate the promises that were made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, you will say, well, the nation promise, the land promise, and the seed promise. All right? In thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. We don't learn exactly there the how that one of Abraham's seed would be a blessing to all families of the earth. And some then have come away with the idea that the nation of Israel would be a blessing to all families of the earth. And we know that's not so when we come into the New Testament, because Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 26, tells us exactly how the seed of Abraham would bless all families of the earth. And number one, we learn that that seed is not the nation. And number two, we learned the how of the blessing was what, David? What would be the how of the blessing? Chapter 3, verse 26. He will do what? He will what?
Save you from your sins.
Save you from your sins, or your iniquities is the word that's used in the American Standard translation. So we know what that blessing is. Forgiveness of sins. And we said, James, that that's the same sermon outline from which he preached in Acts chapter 2. Now, he doesn't use the expression, save you from your iniquities, in Acts chapter 2. How does he state it in Acts chapter 2? That tells us he's talking about this promise made to Abraham.
Well, he talks in Acts chapter 2, he identifies Jesus as the Christ, the one Old Testament promise and prophecy.
All right.
In him, this salvation is realized. And he told them to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins.
All right.
And they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
A little more.
Now I know what
you're saying. You got it now.
For to you is the promise.
Yes. Who's that?
All.
That's the Jews. To you and to your children, and then, he says, to all that are afar off. That would include the Gentiles. Now, when we look at the promise repeated in Acts chapter 3, we know what that is as he talks about save you from your iniquities. He quotes that very promise from Genesis chapter 12. In thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. He's answered it in Acts 2, though he didn't quote it. But he answers it in Acts 3, and it's quoted. All right.
You know, Mickey, this also goes to the identity of what the New Testament church is. There are religions like Baptist religion, so on and so forth, founded many, many years later. But when you look at what the Old Testament prophesies about and then the establishment of the church, it had a prophesied time and place when it would come into existence, and this is identifying. In Acts chapter 2, Peter is saying, all this that all those patriarchs and prophets pointed to is happening right here and right now.
That's the point. Yes. Can you imagine being in that audience and hearing that lesson and seeing the signs and wonders that confirm that what you're hearing is, in fact, truth? All right? Yes, God fulfilled that promise in that He raised Jesus from the dead. Did Daniel's prophecy in Daniel 2, Johnny, come true, analyze it, and show its fulfillment? You going to be here Wednesday night? You'll pick up there Wednesday night. All right.